This is Meet the Movie Press. It's October the 11th, 2019. On the show today, Joker Reigns, John Wick spin-off, a Training Day prequel, plus loads more of the box office reviews. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Meet the Movie Press.
This is Meet the Movie Press. It's October the 11th, 2019. My name is Simon Thompson. You can find me on social media at ShowbizSimon on Instagram and Twitter. And you can find my work everywhere from Forbes to various other places. Scott is not here this week, unfortunately. He's had a last-minute family emergency. But everything is fine. Don't worry. But joining me is guest panelist Jimmy Oster. Jimmy.
Hey.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
You've been on the show before.
I have.
But for people who don't know who are you and where can we find your work?
James Oster, Jimmy O at JoeBlow.com, ArrowInTheHead.com. You can find me, you know, in the various social media outlets, including Cameo. I'm on Cameo now.
I saw that you were on Cameo.
I'm on that, yeah.
Word up.
Word up, man.
A lot of people won't get that reference, unfortunately.
I do, thankfully.
Welcome back. Thank you for coming back. I thought it was going to be a quiet news week, but actually there's been a load of stuff going on this week. There's really, you know, there's a lot to talk about around. And something we're going to be, obviously, we talked a lot on the show about Joker over the last couple of weeks before the film came out, when it came out last week, and now it's doing phenomenally well at the box office, so we're going to touch on that. Not surprising at all. But also what I want to talk about after we've discussed Joker and the box office is we're going to talk about a few films that, if you've seen Joker or you're thinking about seeing Joker, a couple of movies that might have inspired the movie or certainly are complementary movies to Joker, which we'll get into that in just a minute. But let's first of all talk about Joker box office. A lot of people, what people expected it to do did vary widely, from 50 to 100 and 100 plus. It came in at the higher end of that, but obviously under 100. I think the final amount was something like 93, 95, something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, a tremendous response from the audience. Thankfully, no incidents, really. Nothing to speak of. But obviously, audiences did turn out for this movie, which is slightly different. Are you surprised that it was at that higher end of the opening weekend?
Not at all. Not at all. Look, this is the kind of movie that I think, as much as people were like, "Oh, is it the right time? Is it the right time?" I think, in a way, maybe it was the perfect time.
Yeah.
Because there's a character that's going through all those issues. He certainly wasn't painted as, "Oh, cool, he's a hero." No, I don't think that was ever the intention.
Not at all.
And unfortunately, I think like the building up, oh, because it happened during Dark Knight, the shooting.
Which it turned out was completely unconnected to the movie and unconnected to the character of Joker.
Look, violence, movies do not make people violent.
No.
They don't.
There is nothing to support that theory.
Absolutely nothing to support that. So, if anything's going to cause any kind of violence, it's people talking about, "Oh, is something bad going to happen during this movie?" That's more likely going to get someone thinking.
Yeah.
So, no, I'm not surprised it did well. I'm not surprised there was no issues. I think, you know, hopefully things have changed. Hopefully we are getting better. I don't know. That's a whole subject that would take more than a movie show to talk about.
Sure, sure.
But I do think I'm not surprised at all, and I think it just connected. And Joaquin. That was a performance I think people were expecting to be great, but I think he absolutely. Yeah, he went for it.
And I think also he's an actor that a lot of his movies, mainstream audiences won't have caught. Movies like The Master, movies like Her, some of his indie stuff, and some of the stuff that, let's be honest, didn't stay in theatres that long, weren't major projects. But it really has, I think, introduced a lot of these people to Joaquin in a whole new way.
Absolutely.
In a character they're familiar with, but presented in an entirely different way as well, which I think has worked really well. We're looking at a off this weekend of about sort of, you know, we're looking at a take around 40-45 this weekend for a second weekend. So that's a drop off about 40-50%, which is fine, which is good.
That's not bad at all.
But do you think a lot of people, the word of mouth has been very split with audiences? It got a cinema score of B+, which is what I predicted. Eric Weber at Awards Ace, he was predicting a B-. I think actually audiences are going to get a bit more on board with it.
I think so.
I've come across a lot of people who've come out thinking that it was boring. I've come around a lot of people who thought it was more intense and exciting than they thought it was going to be. So how important do you think word of mouth is going to be on this second weekend, and how important do you think the strength of Joker and DC as a whole is going to affect this second weekend?
I think it'll do a little better than expected. I think that, I think, look, we don't give audiences enough credit sometimes. Mm-hmm. Look, we know we get these horrible movies and we're all like, why is Paul Blart the number one movie? Why is whatever? But I think audiences are very savvy. And they as much as we say, you know, okay, there's going to be – they go to flock to remakes and sequels. And that's why original movies don't do well. And there is some truth to that. But – and this is a Joker. This is a character that people love for whatever reason, whether it's the comic books, whether it's Jack Nicholson, whether it's what Heath Ledger brought, people love this character.
Yeah, always have to.
And I think that this particular story, I don't know. I don't think it's going to be a huge drop off. I think we're looking around 40%.
Yeah, that's what I think the drop off of 40 to 50 is going to be a bit much. I think it's going to be more the 40% as well.
Me too.
I think it's really interesting. A lot of people are seeing this as a Joker movie, but they're not seeing it as a DC movie. When you go and see, you know, sort of some of the other movies like Justice League, Suicide Squad, they're very much seen as a DC movie. And people are approaching it, even things like Shazam, but it does feel different. Yeah. But it is still part of the DC, not the DCU, but part of the DC catalog.
Absolutely.
Does this bode really well for a darker The Batman?
I hope so. Look at Logan. Look at these. Deadpool. I still consider obviously a hard R-rated movie.
Yeah.
Nudity, whatever, extreme violence, but I don't really consider that the same type of film as I feel like Logan and with Logan and Joker doing as well as they've done. Yeah, of course. We also shouldn't force a comic book movie to be R just because we want violence.
Agreed.
A lot of times they just don't. It doesn't work with a, you know, it's fine to have the PG-13.
Yeah.
But I think with Joker, it was a smart move.
Yeah. Obviously, a big part of the show is the people who watch the show. Without you, there would be no point in us doing this every single week. So what we really appreciate is if you're watching the show live, if you take part in the chat on YouTube. So a couple of people in there already. Ricky Davila saying, glad to finally be able to watch the show live again after so long. Ricky, it's good to have you back. Kame Egan, good morning, movie fans. Good morning to all of you. Zeno Arra is in there this morning. Hello. Zeno Arra. Welcome back, Ron Jeremy. My bad. Welcome back, Jimmy O. You do have a little bit of that that porn star moustache.
Yeah, I do.
I could tell you a few stories about Ron Jeremy, but I won't. Yash is in there this morning. Joker is such a strong IP. 100% agree.
Absolutely.
Actually, to be honest with you, when it comes to villains, I think Joker has one of the strongest, if not the strongest IP.
Absolutely.
As strong as many of the heroes in sort of the DC comic
for
world,
sure.
100%. People know Penguin, and they love Penguin, and people like Catwoman and stuff like that as well. But I think really when you think of Batman villain, you think of Joker.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. 100%.
BlackRock 316, good morning. I thought Joker was a great movie. You'd be correct in thinking that, BlackRock. Obviously, everybody's entitled to their own opinion, and I know a lot of people have not liked it. I've come across people who really haven't liked the movie, which is entirely fine, because there is no right and wrong in cinema.
No, there shouldn't be. And you shouldn't be. That's the thing. It's like, I have seen a few people get a little over upset when someone says they don't like the movie, or when someone says they do like the movie. It's like, it's opinion, guys.
It doesn't matter. At the end of the day, it really doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Kame Egan, I have not yet seen Joker, but plan on seeing it tonight. Well, don't worry, Kame. We're not going to be doing any spoilers in the show because a lot of people are still getting into this. And some people who initially didn't want to go and see Joker for whatever reason are actually finding the movie and they're considering now, they're reconsidering going to see it. The second weekend of Joker, I think, is going to gross around $60 million because a bunch of shows were sold out and people still are eager to see it.
I agree.
That is true. And it's not that often you see sold out movie theaters these days. You see them with movies like Marvel, you see them with movies like Star Wars, and you see them with some of the things like, you know, Justice League. Although when I went to see Justice League and Batman versus Superman, my movie theater wasn't sold out. But also, we're in Los Angeles, where you can't throw a stone without hitting a movie theater.
Exactly.
So it's not surprising that not all the movie theaters sell out, and even in sort of the major metropolitan areas. People are, I think, you know, visiting this, and people that I know who don't go to see movies on a first weekend and don't perhaps go and see this kind of movie, or they'll only see comic book movies with their kids, or because their kids want to see it and they will also go along. But I know a lot of people who've actually, as independent adults, gone along and made a choice to see this first weekend, which is actually really refreshing to see. That, to me, is the sign of a movie where the movie has appealed to an audience, but also the marketing has worked by the fact that people who don't usually go on a first weekend mm-hmm. will wait for a couple of weekends after, or just wait until it goes into the dollar theater or till it hits Netflix or whatever.
For sure.
Will actually get off their butts and pay £20 or $40 or whatever it is to go and sit there and have two tickets and a soda. But yeah, so I think that's really big. Yeah. A lot of people are obviously talking about the influences of Joker, and it is a movie that has obviously its roots in DC, in the heritage of the DC comics. And we've seen, as you say, various incarnations of Joker. There are a lot of movies as well that people have spoken about that have influenced the movie. I want to talk about a few of those, and you've already got a couple of those that you wanted to mention.
For sure.
There are a couple, I think, that are I would consider to be companion pieces that are not linked or necessarily inspirations for Joker, but I think are really interesting to compare studies of this kind of character. Mm-hmm. So, first of all, a couple that you wanted to mention.
Yeah, I mean, well, there's the obvious. There's Taxi Driver. There's The King of Comedy. Ironically, a lot of Martin Scorsese to go here. Mm. There's a movie called an old, gosh, I'm trying to think of the year, God Told Me To. It's a very disturbing horror film about a guy who's going off and killing people. I think there's kind of a, and it's very dark and very gritty and very, I mean, it's very cheesy, especially for the year, you know, the time it came out. Sure. If you watch it now, it's very cheesy.
What year was it?
I don't remember. It's 70s, I believe.
1970s.
Yeah,
okay.
I believe. It's one of those movies that it's kind of not a very good film, but it's very, it sticks with you. It sticks with you. Mm. I would also, again, I think you have to mention Logan. You have to mention Logan, because I think Logan really kind of opened the door for telling a quote-unquote comic book story, but kind of putting it into the real world and giving it a real feel, and instead of just like, oh yeah, they're going to go to space and do whatever. You know, I like that.
And what was really interesting with Logan is, unlike movies like Joker, where you've got a character that you already know, but you switch out the actor to give that interpretation in a very different and dark way, obviously the decision was made to keep Hugh Jackman playing a character that you'd associated him with in a very different way, in a completely new way, in a very different feeling kind of movie. And obviously with, you know, with Patrick Stewart as well, playing Xavier. Yeah, I mean, I think that was a really interesting and perhaps a more risky choice than what happened with Joker, where obviously they flipped Joaquin in instead of getting Jared Leto to come and do it. You know, so I think that was actually really interesting. So that's a really, really good example.
Mm-hmm.
People are also talking about a couple of De Niro movies, because De Niro, we know, is in Joker.
Absolutely,
so a couple of those popped into your mind as well.
Like I said, Taxi Driver, for obvious reasons. Yep. You know, you have that.
There's actually a line in the movie, "You're talking to me."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which was a direct reference to Taxi Driver.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think King of Comedy, too, kind of had that kind of, like, messed up, like, Robert De Niro was, he was kind of the king of doing these kinds of roles back in the day, you know?
Oh, I mean, countless movies where he was, you know, he was a mentally damaged person.
Even Cape Fear.
Cape Fear, great example.
Yeah.
You know, The Fan. So many of these characters, he's played a lot of this kind of character. And there's actually a lot of the, when people are talking, someone was talking about cinematography being, who was it? It was just talking about, Daryl. Daryl's saying that Joker is basic IMO, but it has great cinematography and music. Mm. The music is incredible on its own, by the way. I believe it's available to stream on things like Spotify.
Probably,
Cape Fear, by the way, is a movie you referenced that. I saw that in the movie theaters, and I love horror movies, but that movie put the shits up me.
Mm?
Like no horror movie I had ever seen, and still to this day, in the soundtrack was fucking incredible.
Well, so was the original film.
Yeah, like,
the original Cape Fear.
Really,
it's such
good.
A good, great story, and both films are fucking fantastic.
Yeah, tremendous pieces of cinematography.
Yeah, absolutely.
But also, talking about cinematography, there are a couple of elements in Joker which feel like they are directly taken from movies like King of Comedy.
Absolutely.
Joker in front of the curtains, that kind of thing. The stage setting with Robert De Niro as a talk show host. It really is. It's interesting to see those references. A couple of other ones that I came up with this week, and I know some of them have been mentioned in think pieces as well, but I think are worth mentioning here. Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer.
You know, I was actually thinking about that one, for sure. That's one of those movies that, like, I don't know if you've seen Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer. I actually recommend that to someone.
Yeah.
And they were so pissed at me.
Really?
Because it's just such a realistic, horrific. I think they were just disturbed.
Yeah.
honestly disturbed.
It's a very raw movie.
Yeah.
But it's a fantastic thing. And also at the same time, I would say Manhunter, which was Michael Mann's Silence of the Lambs, basically. Yes. It was remade as Silence of the Lambs. Manhunter is a really good study in this kind of sort of mental fracturing.
Absolutely.
Fisher King is another one.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even think of that.
Which people haven't referenced. But again, when you're looking at the study of media and seeking attention and mental health, Fisher King is a good example. Again, I'm not saying it influenced Joker, but I think it's a movie that certainly tackles a number of, in a very different way. Perhaps if you're going hard with Joker and you're going soft and damaged with the other end, with Robin Williams' character, is a really interesting study. And also it adds an element to that where, the DJ character played by Jeff Bridges, you know, the kind of the effects of that. It's a dimension that we didn't see in Joker.
Absolutely.
From the influences, from the other side of influences. So I think that's really worth looking at it. Network.
Oh my gosh! Yeah,
is another great movie. It's very different in the subject matter of the movie, but mm-hmm. showing the mental degradation of someone at breaking point. I think Network is really, really good. And again, that is set in the media. But you mentioned King of Comedy and Taxi Driver. I think are also really, really
Absolutely.
Good examples of that.
Absolutely.
And there are countless movies, sort of in the 90s and 20s and 30s, and black and white stuff. That a lot of it was coming out of Germany that dealt with hysteria. Mental health,
absolutely.
You know, breaking down, losing a grip with reality. So there is a lot of stuff out there that has been out there for. And again, when people were saying this kind of movie can cause people to do things, we have had movies that have tackled a lot of these issues. Social injustice, mental health. That all the things that are in, so many things are included in Joker that have been touched on previously in cinema,
mm-hmm.
and nobody's really batted an eyelid. But we do appear to have, as you mentioned earlier, this knee-jerk of, like, movies made me do something, which there has been no proof of, because it used to be the devil made me do it.
It's always something. It's always, like, whether it's the movies or the video games or Marilyn Manson. You know, I think it was the Columbine shooter. They were like, oh, he played these video games. He played Dance Dance Revolution, for God's sake. That's not going to lead to a shooting.
And in the UK, we had the Hungerford Massacre, where everybody linked that to Rambo, and we had Jamie Bulger disappearing, being murdered by two boys, and that was because apparently they'd watched Child's Play.
Yeah.
So these arguments are nothing new, and there's actually a documentary that came out earlier this year, which is my favourite documentary of the year, called Hail Satan?
Yeah.
And actually, there's an element in that actually touches on some of the hysteria around media.
Well, because they have a satanic panic,
literally
of the 1980s. Ruined people's lives.
Yeah.
And had nothing. They didn't do anything.
Yep.
It's this conspiracy theory
which demonized media.
Yes.
And demonized materials, mm-hmm. whether it's books.
For God's sake, it demonized teachers, preschool teachers, like ridiculous.
So this kind of stuff has been out there, and I think it's going to be a conversation that I think is and accusations that I think are going to be unfortunately laid for years to come.
Absolutely.
Because I think it's quite an easy thing to do, but there is very little to no proof of that actually being the case. But we have seen this depicted in media countless times.
For sure.
Graphic novels, the movies like the ones I recommended, but those definitely are movies. So there was a couple that you mentioned, and then Henry of a Portrait of a Serial Killer, Manhunter, Theatre of Blood is one I didn't mention.
Where
Christopher Lee, is it Christopher Lee?
No, it's not.
It's Vincent Price. Vincent Price basically is a actor, and theatre critics are trying to tear him down and destroy him. So he basically sets about killing these theatre critics.
Yeah.
Again, there are elements of this Joaquin Phoenix Joker character within Vincent Price's character.
Well, Jesus, look at literally almost every freaking horror movie from the 80s. It's usually a prank gone wrong, whether it's Terror Train or Slaughter High or...
Jason.
Jason, yes.
Michael Myers.
Yes.
They're all there.
These are not characters that are hidden. Halloween when I was like 7.
Mm.
That's the first time I saw the movie. I had a teenage sister named Judith. I didn't kill her.
Right.
That just doesn't happen. I mean, a sick mind is a sick mind. It will get inspired by Well, many influences.
A lot of people are responding to what we've just been talking about. Let's have a look. Joker, probably a B-plus Phoenix is a whole movie. Joker, in my honest opinion, is a masterpiece and over time will be loved like king of comedy. Yash saying Split is another movie, also an influence, and a little Sixth Sense. Elements of that, obviously, sure, with the altered reality. Yash saying Shyamalan influence is ironic, lol, because Phoenix was in Signs, of course.
Yes, he was.
Pocket Rocket Raccoon, Joker is an instant modern classic. We have Ryan in the booth who's saying that Fisher King is a great comparison. Pocket Rocket Raccoon, Christine, Cape Fear, freak me the fuck out, says Cammy Egan. It still is. It's a movie I revisited about a year ago.
It's a good
one. It's a great movie.
It is.
And also, I believe Ileana, who does a show here at Popcorn Talk Network, she was actually in that movie.
Really?
I believe. Douglas. Freak me the fuck out. De Niro did a superb job as a mentally disturbed person. I'm feeling split because of the therapist and the mental health discussion.
Yeah, for sure.
Daryl Joker is basically the Killing Joke without Batman. That is obviously the animated Joker film that is out, available on various formats. Mm-hmm. Without Batman, you should have done something original. I mean, I kind of guess it kind of is, but I think this is kind of taken in a slightly different direction with a lot more sort of meat on the bones, in a slightly different way. Something that you can't really do with an animated movie, you can do in a comic book, you can do with a feature film. It's more difficult to do with animation.
Absolutely.
But there are, although, people in Asia who do that particularly well. But it's something we don't tend to do particularly over here. Yash saying Sixth Sense for obvious spoiler reasons. I think we can say that we can safely spoil Sixth Sense.
I think
there are kids that were born when Sixth Sense came out that are now having their own kids. So I think
spoiler
we're okay.
Alert?
Spoiler alert, know. Sorry! If you haven't seen the movie in the last 25 years! Pocket Rock and Raccoon, both Christine movies are very good, yeah. So we're going to move on from this. We have 42 minutes left on the show. Thank you so much for that. That was a really good discussion.
Yeah, I agree.
There's so much to talk about around Joker, and I'm sure we will revisit this on the show a number of times over the next coming weeks, because I think it's going to throw up so many more things.
I just hope it opens up conversation about that whole bullshit connection between violence and movies. I really hope that people... lack of conversation, lack of communication is more problematic than anything.
Yeah.
You know?
No, 100%. And Yash saying, obviously, spoilers for Joker, but no.
Yes.
It's fine. I don't think you'd make, if you haven't seen Joker, I don't think you'd make the connection between Sixth Sense, because it doesn't involve dead people.
Yes.
But no, I entirely get it, Yash, don't worry.
And there's no little kid.
There's kids in pretty much everything these days.
Yeah.
So thank you so much. A lot of good discussion on that, especially in the chat. This is why you guys are really important to the show, because it's great as having a conversation in the studio, but it's really involving you guys in this as well. So thank you so much for being part of that discussion. Really good to have that conversation with you. Other news this week, announcement that there's going to be a John Wick spin-off. It's going to be Ballerina. And it's going to be helmed by the guy who made Live Free or Die Hard, Len Wiseman. Okay, there's a lot to unpack around this one.
Yeah, there's a lot.
First of all, your thoughts on a John Wick spin-off. Ballerina was the one they thought of?
Halle Berry?
That would be my first choice.
Absolutely. I love that character. She felt very much like John Wick's world. She had the dogs. I loved that. She stole the movie almost for me. I loved her character. So, like, instantly after I saw the one of the first times I've seen it like three or four times, I was like, they're going to make a movie about her.
Yeah.
There's got to be.
In a time where we are making spin-off movies about female characters.
Absolutely.
That would have been, for me, would have been the ultimate go-to. And considering the way that audiences responded to Halle Berry's character in the movie. I mean, that is, for me, is very much a no-brainer. But Ballerina is the way they're going.
Look, I like the idea. Because there's John Wick World, they did an amazing job. They've done an amazing job creating this really cool mythology, really interesting characters. The bad guys are interesting. The good guys are interesting. Well, I mean, there's no real bad and good. They're all killers.
Sure.
But Ballerina, I'm curious, I guess you could say. I like the idea, but...
So what do we do with it? I say we. I have nothing to do with the movie. Do we do backstory for Angelica Huston? Or do we look at the ballerinas in her troupe as the killers, the mercenaries, effectively a girl squad of badass assassins?
Or they're just going to take one character and create a story around her, put her as a ballerina. I don't know. I mean, there's a lot they could do, technically. I like the idea of a John Wick spinoff.
Yeah.
I mean, I was one of the guys that liked Atomic Blonde. I mean, I thought that was fun. I know it's not in that world, but I like the idea of a badass chick killing, you know.
There have
been quite
a few of those good movies, actually. Mm-hmm. I mean, going back a bit, and I wouldn't say particularly good, but I did enjoy the movies with the China O'Brien movies in the 90s with Cynthia Rothrock.
Yeah!
I remember my dad once brought home China O'Brien from the VHS video store. And, you know, I was like, what the fuck is this? And the action sequences were sped up, and I was like, this is terrible. But I genuinely, as it went on, the Cynthia Rothrock movies, yeah. And she did a lot of other action movies, I really enjoyed, but it was great for me to see that. And then we kind of didn't have that for a long time. We used to have it a lot with blaxploitation, with like Foxy Brown and people like that, in a less sort of dynamic action kind of way, but still kick-ass women.
Yeah.
And then we kind of went back to this post Mr. and Mrs. Smith, and we had things like Salt, and we had things like, you know, as you mentioned, Atomic Blonde, and a few would crop up.
Mm-hmm.
But we really aren't still lacking. We're kind of still lacking in that kind of area.
Yeah, we really are. We really... Well, keep in mind, they were going to make The Expendables for women.
Yeah.
And that... I don't know what happened with that.
Long Kiss Goodnight, a really good example as well. Yeah, absolutely. Actually, fucking great movie. If you haven't seen Long Kiss Goodnight, you should definitely check that. It's Gina Davis and Samuel L. Jackson.
She excelled at the badass. She really did.
She was tremendous.
Oh my God, she's so good in that. She's so good.
So good.
Yeah,
I'll tell you who I saw in a movie recently. It was Ready or Not, Andy McDowell.
Yeah.
I would love to see a movie kind of like with, you know, the Andy McDowells of the world and, you know, and you know, that kind of thing. Really, and Gina Davis is going back and doing something like that. They wouldn't necessarily do the fight, but if they were like the badass bosses who had this kick-ass troop of... This is Charlie's Angels, I guess. But, I mean, just doing that kind of thing would be great. There's so many. Madeline Stowe.
Mm-hmm.
Where's Madeline Stowe?
I know.
Dude, I miss Madeline Stowe.
Who's the one? Oh, I was thinking about her recently, The Last Seduction.
Linda Fiorentini.
Yeah, where is she?
If you haven't seen Gotcha, by the way.
Gotcha. Oh, I mean, dude, you're the only buddy. Gotcha. I've never stuck in
with
that. I
was having a conversation about Gotcha with somebody online, and it's seriously, it is a tremendous
blast.
Movie. Her and Anthony Edwards. Anthony Edwards, the Virgin.
Oh my God, that movie was so awesome. Awesome. And great, the hit song.
What was that?
This is Ryan in the booth. I just want to ask you guys a quick question.
Sure.
About the ballerina movie.
Okay.
So in the wake of Red Sparrow and the newly announced Black Widow movie, do you think this just sounds too similar?
No.
I
don't.
Not at all. Yeah, I think there's a lot of stories to tell. It doesn't feel like that at all.
If that's an argument that's going to be put forward, then you have to then look at it on the flip side and look at all the male action movies.
Yeah.
You know, because there are a lot of male action movies which are fundamentally the same, whether they're cops or bad guys or assassins or whatever. So I think if that's an argument that wants to be leveled on one side, I think you have to look at the other side as well and declare them both as samey. I mean, there is only fundamentally so much you can do with this kind of thing, and you can add elements and flourishes. There is this core thing of X kicks ass.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it's necessarily, you know, they're too samey. And I think Red Sparrow, and if you look at Black Widow, and if you look at, let's example, Ballerina, they are all females who kick ass, but their characters and their where they come from, their origins and the reasons that they're doing it are all very different.
Mm-hmm. I think I'm just going off of the idea that it's some people who did ballet and then they're assassins in that. Going to your argument that Halle Berry would have been a more interesting character to visit, it doesn't take those two elements, whereas we know Black Widow did similar ballerina type work in Russia, and same with Red Sparrow.
Oh yeah, for sure.
That's what I think I'm going off of instead of just another.
But again, that's coming from a cultural point of view, where by the fact that culture ballet is a major part of a culture in Russia.
Mm-hmm.
So this is where that kind of all comes from. But then if you look at Black Widow, who is a Russian character, that's not ballet related. That is to do with a different kind of heritage. So I do understand your point. It's a point worth raising.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't necessarily think it's the same. Otherwise, the same thing could be leveled at, it's another cop movie or whatever. Jimmy, your thoughts?
To be fair, I mean, I actually liked Red Sparrow. I thought it was actually a pretty good film. It didn't really do well. It didn't really have an impact. So I don't think people are going to be really comparing it to that.
Yeah.
I think it'll be more of it's a John Wick thing. I don't think we're going to have that.
No. But I mean, I think it does certainly open up a whole world of opportunities.
Absolutely.
Which, I mean, I'm interested to see. But, I mean, Len Wiseman has done director? Yeah. I'm not entirely sure on that one. But yeah, you know what? That's... Every director can have a couple of bum movies and then pull a gem out of their butt. And it's absolutely fine. And every director who has a string of hits can pull a dud out of their butt every now and again.
And we may be talking Gemini about Man. One of those lines.
Gemini Man. But yeah, so, I mean, I think, you know, I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt. And I'll be honest with you, the guys who run the John Wick franchise are so anal about making sure that it delivers. I think if Wiseman went too far off that, they would flip him out or they would get involved. And I think, you know, they wouldn't let it turn to shit because this, what started out as one movie has become a very lucrative and very popular franchise.
Yeah. Yeah.
Far beyond what they initially expected.
Yeah. And so I don't think they're not that expensive to make.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know. I think the thing about Len is like, a lot of people really kind of shit on him. And I, especially because of the Underworld movies. Look, I like the Underworld movies. They're not great cinema. I had a good time with them.
Yeah.
I'm certainly not going to say, oh yeah, these are the best movies of the year. But I think he has a way with a female-led action character.
Yeah.
Kate Beckinsale is amazing in those movies. Yeah. If they can get the right girl. I don't know. I think I'm interested to see what he does. I have a little faith.
A lot of people having comments on this as well. We appear to be hitting a few really strong buttons today with the show, which is great. So thank you. Yash saying, I'd see Ballerina in a heartbeat. I really feel that Len Wiseman gets a lot of hatred. Your point exactly. Mm-hmm. Live Free or Die Hard is a modern action classic.
I liked it. I didn't hate it. It certainly wasn't the worst Die Hard.
Yeah. I think it is the worst Die Hard.
Really?
But that's fine. We don't have to agree. That's the wonderful thing about this. And we don't have to call each other wankers online, which is great. Can I just say that you are interacting with you online is a genuinely pleasant experience.
Oh, thank you.
And you're always so supportive for me and other members of the community online. You're one of those people who doesn't go out there and go, you're a fucking wanker.
I don't get
it's tremendously supportive and it's very much appreciated.
Look, I would probably be a lot more have a lot more followers if I were an asshole, but I just don't see the point of that.
No.
I don't see the point.
And it's really good to see and it is appreciated. It does get noticed, so thank you. Yash also saying even the Total Recall remake with Colin Farrell was fun. I'm sorry, Yash. I'm going to have to disagree with you on that one.
I kind of had fun with it.
I fucking hated that movie.
But I had a little fun with it.
I was so disappointed.
I wouldn't call it a good movie, but there were parts that I enjoyed.
If you go to Amazon, they literally pay you to have it delivered.
Really?
No,
oh, shoot. I'm
no, no, they don't. But no, I mean, that. Ooh, yeah. You don't hear a lot of people going, hey, do you remember that Total Recall remake? Tony Robinson making a really good point in here. Peppermint is another one that came out recently.
Yeah.
And also Anna came out recently. So it just goes to show that even though we're putting out these female-centric movies, I mean, there's a lot of history around Anna as well, which is a Luc Besson movie. But not all of them land. You can't just present anything out there and people will automatically
not everything can be La Femme Nikita.
No, there is this thing in Hollywood where it's like, we'll deliver an X film, an X audience will like it. No, there's no guarantees in the industry. And again, we'll talk about this when we get to Gemini Man. Tony Robinson saying Andy McDowell is gorgeous.
Yes.
Had the pleasure of being in a room with her recently and she was seriously, I would go and get shit-faced with Andy McDowell. She would be outstanding.
She would be amazing.
Outstanding.
Sure.
I adore her. Cammy Egan saying, China O'Brien movies are a great pull because they were those films that are so bad that you love it. 100%. That was a great era of action movies. Best of the best. China O'Brien, all of these movies, classic 90s shit. That were just wildly entertaining, which just goes to show that you can make a shit movie and you still enjoy it for whatever reason.
For sure.
And that's absolutely fine.
All of us like crappy movies. Sometimes it's fun to just turn your brain off and watch something
just
stupid.
Just watch something completely dumb and non-artistically rewarding in any way.
Dude, I love the Friday the 13th movies. Come on. And they're terrible.
There's so many terrible movies that I love.
Oh, of course.
Yash mentioning Anna. Yash, Salt with Jolie was in Russia or the US. The thing is that a lot of this stuff, these kick-ass women, a lot of those stories, they either originate in the US or Russia. Then in Asian cinema, it's Asia or America. it's always interesting to see where they place these stories, and I think different cultures do it the same thing. Russia, they always place them in America or other places in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so yeah. It is interesting to see culturally and socially where these characters are placed.
Absolutely.
So it's very, very interesting. Yeah. I think Salt is set in the US. It is set in the US, yeah. Fifth Element, Multipass. Cool. Jimmy O, you should be on more often. Yes, Jimmy, you should be.
Thank you.
So let's move on from John Wick. A couple of other things I want to touch on the show. We've got about just under half an hour left. We've got a couple of reviews and stuff to get through, and I want to look at box office as well. Maniac Cop TV series announced from Nick Vinding Refn, headed to HBO. We'll file this one on things I didn't expect to drop onto my timeline on Thursday night.
Speaking of a movie series that I love that's terrible, but
it's
I love them.
Great.
Oh my God.
So good.
They're so good. And I love the idea that he's doing it.
Yeah.
Are you freaking kidding
no
me?
I have no idea how these two things came together.
No idea.
You look at Nick's stuff, you know, great example, Drive, some of his other really...
Only God Forgive.
You look at these movies, they're deep and they're rich, you know, whatever you critically think of them, you know, they're nuanced, they're cerebral, and it's like, Maniac Cop, which is just like a fucking crazy dead
cop.
You
have no fucking idea how excited I am for this.
Yeah.
I love this stuff. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be badass. It's going to be weird. It's going to be like... I'm full all in. I don't even need to see a preview for this. And that's rare. That's rare that I get that excited. He's just a voice I find really interesting. I love that he's divisive. I love that he takes chances. And I love that you can go and see one of his movies and go, that was complete garbage. But you still, I don't know.
There's something in there that you like.
Yeah,
there's something
absolutely.
In there that you like.
I think he's just, big fan.
So Neon Demon was another one. Yash being
Neon
very
Demon,
active in the
yeah.
chat today. A great example. I mean, that was a movie that didn't do particularly well at all.
No.
It really didn't do well.
But it's, oh my God, it's so creepy. It's so wonderful.
It's so creepy and it's beautiful and it's,
gorgeous.
You know, it's effed up.
Yes.
You know, and I do like a little bit of that. And
I love a little bit of that.
I love seeing normal life depicted in movies and I love stuff that is so effed up that it's so far from reality mm-hmm. that you're just, I mean, I'm not talking like, you know, outrageously gory or like snuff or stuff like that.
No,
but stuff
no.
that it's like, this is really like a fractured universe, and I read that's one of the reasons I really like the Joker. This kind of thing, and I'm like, you can have, and on HBO, the channel that has given us shows like Game of Thrones in recent years and shows like The Sopranos beforehand, this is a network that is not afraid to bend lines, to, you know, tear up envelopes. It really is. They really want to make something that really impacts in some shape or form. This, to me, is a genius idea and a genius pairing.
It's amazing.
Did you see this coming at all?
No. I mean, look, what I've learned to expect from Nick is that just expect the unexpected because he's just going to do these weird and wild things. And I love it. I love his films. I don't think I've ever hated one of his films, but I absolutely understand when people do. But I love the idea of him taking on such a really a hardcore B-movie story and bringing it to life.
Yeah. The couple of other things that dropped this week, something again that happened yesterday, announcement of a Training Day prequel. I mean, again, this is something that I had no idea was going to be coming up.
None.
Sometimes we hear whispers about these things.
No.
You know, we hear it on the, you know, sort of in the industry, and we don't really talk about it. But this is one that I had no idea was being discussed at all. It's basically taking us with the characters from Training Day, taking them back to the days before the Rodney King riots in Los Angeles, and kind of showing that happened. I think this I'm very interested in.
I'm intrigued by. Yeah. For sure.
I'm wondering who they will get to play the younger version of the characters, though. Assuming it's the same characters,
they'll
or they might
digitally do them, you know, make them younger.
We'll talk about that later. Gemini Man. We'll talk about that later. we are going to be talking about Gemini Man
in
the show later. But I mean, which way do you think they should do? Do you think they should keep the original characters or reference the original characters, or do them with different characters?
I don't know. I mean, if you're going to do a prequel, have the original characters. I think there's. I don't know. It's. I'm not 100% on this one. I just, because everything has to be a prequel. We have to explain everything.
Mm.
Why do we have to explain why Michael Myers killed Laurie Strode? Why do we have to? But it's kind of a mute point to complain about because it's going to happen to like every movie. It seems like at least. I think it should be. If you're going to do a prequel, might as well have the original characters.
I would have the original characters in it.
Yeah.
But I would have it center around different characters.
Okay. Fair enough. Fair enough. Yeah.
Because I think the pairing and the coming together in Training Day, I mean, it's been a number of years since I've seen Training Day.
Yeah, 3 years.
But I just think that, you know, rather than try to do that earlier, it can sometimes be difficult that I would actually go, I would, and then you sometimes get, when you have people doing characters that you've already seen later in life doing it, they almost do impersonations of characters, yeah, with the nuances and the,
very true,
you know, the sort of the personality quirks and stuff like that. And I would really want to see, I'm happy to have those characters referenced and as part of it, but I would really like to see it focus on two different people, kind of similar characters. I'd like it to be a black guy and a white guy. Mm-hmm. I think that dynamic, especially given the timing of this, would be really, yeah, important.
Oh, yeah.
I think there are a lot of issues to discuss there. But I would like to see it focus on different characters. What they're going to do, you know, I don't know. But I think it would be quite interesting. Mm-hmm. People in the chat on this, I'm fascinated to see what HBO is going to do with Watchmen, going back,
yeah,
to Maniac Cop. Who would you, going back to Maniac Cop very, very briefly, who would you like to see cast in it?
God.
There's a name that's come up that I don't know if it was in reference to this, but I think would be great in it.
You know who I really like, and he, because of it, he's being seen more, is Jimmy Ransom, or James Ransom.
Oh yeah,
I love him. I think he could play that character with no problem. Mm. I would love to see more of him. I think he's a really great actor.
The name Nicolas Cage has been thrown out.
I mean, he's getting interesting lately. His movies are really interesting. So maybe
interesting,
maybe? Interesting,
interesting.
Yeah,
some are interesting.
Yeah, I mean,
pronounced not shit.
A lot of shit, but you know. Yeah. But then he,
which
does,
reminds me,
like,
I have Primal to watch this weekend. I got sent a screener link,
yeah,
to the one about the tiger.
I want
to
see it. I think it looks fun.
Die Hard with a kitty.
Woohoo!
On a boat under siege. Kind of. We'll see how that goes. Yeah, but interesting now. I mean, it'll be interesting to see how that project comes along. We'll see.
Yeah.
But interesting, certainly the Training Day story is something I wanted to touch on as well. I think it's a very interesting idea.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, we're going to get to the review of the movie in a bit. But I did an interview with Ang Lee for Forbes last week after the press conference at the YouTube space. So if you want to go to Forbes.com and check that out, if you search for Ang Lee, you'll see my interview. We had a really great discussion about the fact that it obviously cost a lot of money to make. It is technologically very advanced. They used a lot of new stuff. The guys from Weta worked a lot on it, but he's had a couple of bombs. Most recently was the Billy Lynn movie.
Yeah, which was also a higher frame rate.
Which is also a higher frame rate. And we'll get to frame rate in a second, but he was basically saying that for him, he thought, you know, audiences were wrong about that movie, but box office is not everything. So if you want to look at how an Oscar-winning director who's gone from small Asian movies to big-budget, high-tech American studio movies completely poles apart.
To Oscar-winning
things like Life of Pi and Brokeback Mountain.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it really is an interesting little chat, and he is amazingly frank. I was very surprised how honest he was. So do check that out. That is on Forbes.com. If you search Ang Lee or my name, you'll find that there. But going back to frame rate, no movie theater in the US is going to be screening Gemini Man as Ang Lee intended, which is in this very high frame rate. Which does beg the question, why would you do it in this super high frame rate if pretty much nobody is going to be able to see it? I think outside of the US, there are only a handful of places that this can actually play, but in comparison to the number of theatres, can play in this high frame rate. And with the high frame rate, when you transfer that to something like streaming or hard format home entertainment, you're not going to be able to have that high frame rate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, you're not.
It's going to be very difficult to replicate, if almost impossible.
A
lot of TVs won't be able to replicate and create that.
Not in the near future,
no,
not at all.
So why bother and why spend that money?
I mean, I guess you could call it that, you know, film has always evolved. We started with silent films and we moved into talkies. I went to the junket as well, and they were kind of like talking about how, in the presentation, they were talking about how, well, okay, we want to push it to the next level. Though this may be the next level that we're creating digital human beings or shooting it in high frame rate. I don't know. I don't know if it's, I guess, maybe to just push the technology and remind it's out there and hope that it catches on. I think, I mean, that's really the only reason I could think of, or,
It was interesting to talk to Aang about this because I said basically, are you, you know, if this doesn't work out, are you going to go back to doing, you know, now you've done a couple of these high-tech movies, do you want to go back to something that is smaller and more character-based and less high-tech and, you know, that kind of movie, the ones that you were best known for? Mm-hmm. Or, and he was like, you know, you can't go back. But he said what he wants to do is continue to use this kind of technology, so the high frame rate and the digital artistry, to basically use what he learned from the traditional films, like sort of how to use faces and how to use emotion, to progress the technology that we've now developed to be able to get that to a point where it's like, this is really part of a learning curve where the success of the movie is not really where he sees the success of the movie financially.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really about how it moves the industry forward. So he's kind of saying, like, I'm going to be the stepping stone. I'm not going to worry so much about my box office. I'm
going to
make sure I push, like people like James Cameron have done previously, yep, and numerous other directors. But also, if you don't make money, people don't give you the movies to make.
Yeah,
because
that's the problem.
It's a very expensive stepping stone.
Yeah, yeah, and it's, so we'll talk about the movie later.
But I think the fact that very few or no movie theaters in the US are going to be able to show this movie in the way that it was intended.
That's as a movie fan, as a cinephile, that would bum me out. I'm like, I believe we got to see it in the proper frame rate.
We did, and we sat next to each other when we got to see some previews of it, when we saw four or five clips on the Paramount lot.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's so... I guess the only reason is to push technology forward. I guess what he said, that makes sense. It just, I don't know if it's going to be offered if it doesn't do well.
Yeah. Let's move on to a couple of other stories I want to touch on very quickly before we get to reviews. We've got 14 minutes left on the show. We are going to be talking about some of the movies that are coming out this week, including Gemini Man. I want to talk about Parasite as well, and we're going to look at the box office. But a couple of things I want to touch on. The Matrix 4 gave some casting news this week. I always get his name wrong. Abdul-Mateen. I'm going to pass his first name because I always mess it up. But I'm just going to say Abdul-Mateen II is going to be joining The Matrix 4. Very interesting. No word yet on what the role is going to be, but apparently it could be quite a major role. I have to say, I was not a fan of his performance in Aquaman at all.
How dare you?
I'm going to send a nasty tweet.
I liked him in that. I liked it a lot.
I thought it was terrible.
No, I had fun.
Other stuff he's done, I really liked.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, I generally like him. I've interviewed him before. He was a really nice guy. I actually had fun with his character in Aquaman. It wasn't my favorite thing in the film. I preferred every time Jason and Amber were together. But I definitely think it's good casting. The question is, are they going to improve The Matrix or make just another crappy sequel?
That's the thing, because we had two of those crappy sequels
previously.
Yes, we did. We don't really want to have that again.
No.
But I think interesting casting, and I think what is really nice is we have a handful of very talented African-American actors, and Hollywood tends to be quite lazy sometimes, and we're casting the same two or three in roles. And I'm very good to see that someone like him, who is amongst those who has great promise, is getting to have this kind of role. And Hollywood hasn't been lazy and gone, let's get us, you know, B. Jordan, let's get Michael B. Jordan, or let's get whoever, you know, so these actors don't burn, you know, and it's really, really good. So, like I say, I mean, I did not like him in Aquaman at all, but he's done other things that I really liked him in.
Fair enough.
Casting news this week, Little Mermaid, David Diggs is heading under the sea to play Sebastian.
I love that dude. I love Blind Spotting. I'm so excited about that. Weirdly enough, I'm not a huge fan of the Disney remakes. I just don't.
They're hit and miss.
Yeah, they're hit and miss. I think I like Cinderella. That was basically it. But I've never been a fan of Little Mermaid, but I feel like this might be interesting. I'm kind of curious about this. Mm. I have to see something before I can, you know, obviously get too excited. But I like the casting so far. I love the fact he's getting work. I think he's ridiculously talented.
And I think it's going to be one where, I mean, we look at The Lion King. A lot of people didn't like that movie. I thought it was actually pretty good.
I hated it.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's not in my top 10 of the year, but I did enjoy it. I had fun with it. But again, there were certain characters in there that were standouts. It was definitely Timon and Pumbaa for me.
Yeah.
And I think this is going to be, because Sebastian was a favorite character of mine from The Little Mermaid, the Disney animated movie. Mm-hmm. And so, actually, I'd really like to see his interpretation.
I'm very excited to see what he brings to it.
I think that could be a standout moment. Yeah. The Doctor Sleep posters. Before we get to the Doctor Sleep posters, very quickly, other casting this week, a couple of things that Billy Porter has been attached to. obviously from Pose and various other things. He was in Kinky Boots on Broadway. He's got a movie coming out in January. Very, very popular right now. Being cast in a Cinderella movie. But also, apparently he's being eyed to play, to do the voice of Audrey 2 in a remake of Little Shop of Horrors. Now, that, I think, would be really good because he's got a good old set of pipes on him, and I think the sass to add to Audrey 2 would be great.
But for sure.
I would love, and I mentioned this to PJ Campbell, who used to be at the Schmodown but is still online and still very active. I mentioned to PJ when he tweeted about this yesterday that what I would love to see Billy Porter would do is if we flip out the role of the love interest and we have him actually play Audrey. And I could imagine him singing stuff like Suddenly Seymour and Somewhere That's Green really, really well. And, you know, you could be same-sex or you could flip out, you know, the Seymour and have a woman play role. You could play around with that. It doesn't have to be exactly like it was the original.
Idea. I
think he would be great as Audrey.
I think that's an interesting idea.
If we kind of play around with what Little Shop of Horrors... I mean, I'm a big fan of Little Shop of Horrors.
Oh, yeah, me too.
I love the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the one from the 80s, I'm a huge fan
of. Oh, I like both, yeah. I'm a fan of both.
And I just think that would be a really interesting... If we're going to do something a little bit different with it rather than redoing the same thing. I think having Billy as Audrey, let alone Audrey 2, would be great.
I think that's a great idea. I think... I'm in.
With his pipes and his drama?
Oh, for sure. For sure. Yeah, just get the right whoever you're going to cast him off of. I'd be in for that.
Yeah,
if you're going to do that, if you're going to remake it, at least make it a little different, make it a little fun.
Yeah, and you could definitely have the Seymour character, as a downtrodden woman who was never who loved this guy who never saw her, was always going out with these terrible people, and it could be really interesting.
Yeah, I think so.
Could be interesting. So that was just an idea from me. But very quickly, let's touch on the Doctor Sleep posters. Now, these appear to really want to make you sure that you are seeing something that is a sequel to The Shining, whereas originally when the movie was put together and pitched, it was very much a case of, yes, the book is following on from The Shining, but this is not a Shining sequel. Peter, have changed on that.
Yeah.
Your thoughts on the posters, first of all, and that flippage?
I think it's good. Personally, there's a lot of people, one of my good friends hates the movie.
Mm.
He thinks it's terrible. I disagree strongly. I think the movie is a masterpiece.
Okay.
But he's a big fan of the book. And there's a huge change. It's not the same.
Yeah.
And of course, Stephen King is very, very well known for not being a fan of the film.
Yes.
But here's the thing. People who are expecting this, they want, I think a lot of them are wanting a Shining sequel.
Yeah.
Many of them maybe haven't read the book or are there, they see Jack Nicholson, they see Shelley Duvall. I like the idea that they're taking on both and they're trying to, and I have a lot of faith in Mike Flanagan.
Yeah.
I think he's an incredible director. A great voice in genre.
He's also a lovely guy.
He is a lovely guy.
Really nice guy.
And I think that he's playing it smart because you can be a fan of the novel. You can read the book, Doctor Sleep, and still get stuff out of it. I think he's going to do a really good job.
I'm very excited about the movie.
Me too.
I'll be honest with you. But one thing I'm quite surprised is, being members of various guilds, you get to go on awards sites and look and see what people are putting up for awards, and they're doing screenings and stuff. And Warner Brothers have not put Doctor Sleep on their awards site yet.
No, they haven't. Yeah.
And I'm very surprised by that. Because I thought, It 2 is on there, Lego Movie Part 2 is on there, Mother Brooklyn's on there, the new Clint Eastwood movie is on there, Guided by the Light is on there, and there's the Springsteen documentary as well.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's no Doctor Sleep.
Really?
And I'm very surprised by that.
Yeah, maybe it's too early. I don't know. Maybe.
Well, the other one. Oh God, the one that's coming out around Christmas. Just Cause? No, not Just Cause. That's the Lawrence Fishburne.
Yeah, one. Yeah, yeah. I think
I've completely forgotten on the name for a second. I'm seeing it at the weekend, but yeah, that's already up there, and I'm just quite surprised the Doctor Sleep that's out in a couple of weeks is not up there.
Yeah, that's
just
true.
I was just surprised considering. What they're doing with it.
Yeah.
I just thought that might be up there for something, but there you go.
Maybe not.
Okay, so I'm not going to have time to touch on any of the other movies of the week, but I do want to very quickly touch on box office before we talk about films that are out
for
this
sure.
weekend. Gemini Man, obviously, is one that's probably going to be the biggest release of the week. Did previews of 1.6 million on Thursday, which is kind of okay. Ad Astra did 1.5, so this is not exactly a great thing.
No, it's not.
A lot of people posting pictures on social media last night of pretty much empty movie theatres, which for a Will Smith studio movie is a little bit of a surprise. Adam's Family, 1.25 million last night on preview. So we're seeing that that is not that far behind Gemini Man, which is alarming.
I would not at all be surprised if Adam's Family beat Gemini Man.
Well, this is what I was going to get to next, actually. Looking at what Box Office Mojo was saying, it looks like Joker's going to remain at the top. No surprise there with about 45. I think we're going to see 50, possibly 60 this weekend, so we'll see how that goes. Adam's Family, number 2 with 29. Gemini Man in number 3 with 21. Abominable, 6.7 million in 4th place, and 5th place, Downton Abbey, 5 million. Jexy is the other major release of the week. That is coming in at currently 7th or 8th place with 3.5 million. I mean, Jexy actually moving on. I mean, I'm not entirely surprised by that, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. But just we've got 5 minutes left on the show. So Jexy was not screened for critics. Mm-hmm. It was screened for people who did Junket. Unfortunately, they didn't show it to critics. So I don't know what that's like, but that is not usually a very good sign when you have a comedy that's going to be hitting theatres and there's very little advertising for it and you're not showing it to critics. So if you're going to see it this weekend, I would love to definitely know what you thought of the movie after the show, obviously, and this remains on YouTube. You can feel free to comment below, let us know what you thought about Jexy or any of the other films you've seen this week, or by all means seek us out on Twitter. You can find me at Showbiz Simon. Jimmy is at
joeblow.com, arrowinthehead.com.
fantastic. And also you can also find the show on Twitter at Meet Movie Press. Also out this weekend, Adam's Family. Unfortunately didn't get to see that this week because
I missed it.
There was only one screening this week, and unfortunately when those come in quite late you can't do stuff.
Absolutely.
I had awards season screening, so I couldn't make that. But the general consensus from critics so far appears to be that this is very much a family animated movie. Don't think about it as Adam's Family or Adam's Family Values.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
it'll be interesting to see how that does. But there's nothing really out there right now for families. So if you're in that market, I think it's going to have a pretty...
I think it'll do probably a little bit better than people expect.
Parasite is a movie that a lot of people have been talking about coming out of festivals.
Yeah.
It is Bong's latest movie.
Who I'm a huge fan of, and I didn't get to see it. It's really killing me because I'm looking forward to that one.
I'm hit and miss with his stuff. Some of his stuff I really like and some of the stuff I'm not a massive fan of.
Okay.
Parasite, for me, a lot of people are very, very excited about this movie and saying it's one of the best movies of the year. I really appreciated this movie. I think it is really, really well done. But I didn't love this movie.
Okay.
You know, it didn't blow me away as it has some other people. The problem for me, and I'm not going to spoil this because I know a lot of people will want to go and see this, is the fact that there are some really well written characters in this, but I didn't like any of the characters. And when you don't really like any of the characters and feel any connection to them, or any, even if they're like not nice people, you feel something for the character. I just didn't feel that because there's nobody.
Didn't feel anything.
I didn't feel that connection to the characters. It's a great story and it plays out beautifully, but when I don't have that connection to the characters, when you see things happen to people and you're indifferent, it doesn't have an impact. You don't have that connection. So as a great movie, I think it's as far as cinematography goes, I think as far as the way it's constructed, the narrative, the idea are all great. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of people are going to love this movie, and I think people are absolutely right that it could be nominated for, you know, potentially Best Picture, certainly Best Foreign Language Film, could very well walk away with it. It is a great example of his work, and it's also a great gateway piece if you've not seen some of his stuff.
Mm.
But it just didn't work on that next level for me.
Okay.
But the way that it's done, I take my hat off to him. He's done a really good job with making a great movie. It just didn't quite tip that balance for me. But it's still definitely worth seeing.
I will see it 100%. I can't wait.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
And it's just really well done. I mean, it's a really great, you know, it plays out wonderfully. I just didn't feel that connection with the characters.
Fair enough.
So let's spend the last couple of minutes of the show talking about Gemini Man. I mean, no disrespect to Ang Lee or Will Smith.
He's
and Jerry
a wonderful
Bruckheimer.
Filmmaker. These are good filmmakers that, yeah.
And I think if anybody was going to get together and try to pull off this movie, this are the three people that I think with Weta were the ones that could probably make it work. And this movie has been in production hell for 20 years. They've got together, they've tried to pull it off, and they just haven't.
The problem is they have, visually speaking, the younger Will Smith is really impressive. There's some actually really impressive scenes where they're fighting with each other. And that's what we first saw. And it looked very promising. But then the script.
Script is appalling.
Wow. Wow.
For a movie that's been basically in various forms over 20 years, this is the form that they decided
to present. It reminded me of like watching a CBS pilot. like a lousy yeah. CBS cop show or something like that. It was so just lazy and uninspired. I didn't care at all.
It felt like you mentioned that the branding sci-fi. It felt like the pilot episode of a sci-fi
yes.
TV show.
Okay, yeah, that's a better example. Absolutely, yeah. And with better visuals, but the high frame rate. I'm still not feeling it, man.
I'll be honest with you. The high frame rate. I don't know whether it's my eyes or seeing it in 3D, which was just too fucking much. To be honest with you,
yeah, it was a bit much.
It was so high frame rate and so high tech that there are certain things that didn't work. It felt mm-hmm. glitchy. There are elements that felt so real and elements that felt so clearly manufactured.
Look, I respect a lot of this film. Yeah. I respect the fact that they tried to make this. I respect the fact that they tried to go out of the
brave.
Way. But it's brave. But it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
It just doesn't work.
It is not a good movie. Mm-hmm. I don't think – I think this is going to be another flop for Ang Lee. But as someone said – actually, Jazz 41173 said, male directors can fail up. And that is – I think this is a really good case of – a case where Ang Lee is being – but I mean, they checked on in him all the way. And he talks about this in the interview with me on Forbes. You know, they checked in with him all the way and he had to show his workings. And they were like, yep, carry on. Yep, carry on. So they only have themselves to blame with this.
Yeah.
Xena Mauer very quickly saying, most Gemini Man reviews mention the high frame rate being a major issue. So where were the producers or the studio to tell Ang Lee not to do high frame rate? Do you know what? They had the conversations, they argued it, they looked at the maths, they came up with the end result. And they okayed it. So
I wish I would spend more time on the script.
Well, yeah, they have to take responsibility for this as well.
They do.
Before we finish the show, I just want to throw something else out there. Another piece I did this week on Forbes was talking to Michael Paré from Streets of Fire and Philadelphia Experience and many things. Streets of Fire is a Walter Hill movie, one of my favorite movies of all time. Yeah. It was a great movie. It was a massive flop. If you have never seen that, revisit it. I did an interview with him and we talked about the fact that he does want to do a reboot or a sequel or possibly do a TV spin-off. So. That for Streets of Fire fans this week was really good.
Bring
news.
Streets of Fire to TV. That's what I want to say.
I love it.
I do too.
Great to talk to Michael. We don't agree politically, but still, it was great to talk to him.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. Didn't get to talk about a Joker sequel. We'll talk about that another time.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't need it. I don't think it's going to happen. But, we've had so much to talk about this week. Thank you so much, Jimmy, for being on the show.
Thanks.
For those people who don't know who you are or where they can find you or your work, who are you and where can we find your work?
Jimmy O, JoeBlow.com, AaronTheHead.com, every social media. Network out there.
And my name is Simon Thompson. You can find me at Showbiz Simon on Instagram and Twitter. Thank you so much for joining the show. If you like the show, subscribe. Do make sure that you put this show on Twitter and tell people that it exists, because the more we have the audience, the more we can keep doing it. Without the audience, there is no point. So thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for being part of the discussion. We really appreciate it. If you're going to catch a movie this weekend, do let us know what you've seen and what you thought. If you're checking something out on streaming that you like, let us know as well. There's a little movie coming out that's to do with Breaking Bad that dropped last night, but I think a lot of tired people in work today. They all stayed up until midnight to watch it. Give us your thoughts. We really appreciate it. I'll be back next week. Scott will be back next week as well. Thank you so much for tuning in. Have a great week, everybody. And don't forget, cinema, whatever you like. It's totally fine. Have a good one.